You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The fact that Osama bin Laden was found living in a fortified compound just 35 miles from Islamabad has raised many questions about Pakistan's role in the fight against terrorism and whether that country's security forces knew where bin Laden was hiding. Joining us now to discuss Pakistan's importance in the region and the complex relationship it has with the United States is Anatole Levin. He's professor of international relations and terrorism studies at King's College London, a senior fellow of the New American Foundation, a journalist who spent years reporting from Pakistan and South Asia, and the author of Pakistan, A Hard Country, which is published by Public Affairs. Welcome back to our show.
Hello.
What has the reaction been in Pakistan to the killing of bin Laden in this wealthy suburb? We heard news reports about mild protests in Karachi, but pretty much nothing in Islamabad.
Yes, well, I think the mass of the population is waiting to see, really, what happens next. And the Islamist parties who tend to orchestrate such protests are a little bit bewildered about how to respond because, after all, you know, they've always said, bin Laden wasn't responsible for 9/11. So celebrating him now as a martyr makes them look a little bit odd, shall we say.
But didn't he take credit for 9/11? Did they just ignore that?
Well, in effect, he did. But the mass of not just the Islamists in Pakistan, but I'm sorry to say the mass of the Pakistani population have succeeded in turning a blind eye to that. And I'm very sorry to say, convincing themselves that this was an American-Israeli plot.
There are questions about whether the Pakistan security forces knew where bin Laden was hiding and why they might have kept that information from the United States. Is it likely that they didn't know?
It's possible. I mean, there are two possibilities which put them in a, at least a better light than if they were actually complicit in hiding him. The first is incompetence, that they just didn't check this compound, even though it was, very close to important military institutions. And yes, that they didn't know. Now, I have seen enough of, disastrous Pakistani sloppiness in the security field to find that, shall we say, not completely unbelievable. I wouldn't put it any more strongly than that. The other possibility is that they did know and that actually they did tip off the U.S. This is an idea which now some Pakistani officials are floating in private. The reason why Pakistan is not taking credit for this, of course, they say, is that the Pakistani government and military know that this would be very unpopular in Pakistan if it came out. Now, I mean, the thing is, once again, that's not impossible, but, this is not what the U.S. administration is saying. There haven't been any leaks to this effect from the U.S. As yet, and it does have a pretty strong smell, of, shall we say, posthumous excuses about it. So that does leave, I would say, on balance, the probability that at least some elements in Pakistani intelligence did know that he was there.
Well, the CIA chief, Liam Panetta, told Time magazine that they deliberately kept Pakistan in the dark about the mission. But I'm getting the feeling that you're also suggesting the United States might be protecting the Pakistani government against possible acts of retaliation.
Might be. You understand, everything that we can say at the moment is hedged about with mights and maybes and coulds, because so far we don't have, all the information. There is one thing about the U.S. official account, which I have to say makes me wonder a little. Sending these helicopters in so deep inside Pakistan without warning the Pakistanis what was going to happen at all. I mean, even, 5 minutes before the helicopters did go in.
And there's a military base nearby.
Well, exactly. I mean, that seems to me Well, I mean, but let's put it this way. I mean, if that was indeed, if that's true, if that is what the U.S. did, it demonstrates great and, as it turns out, justified courage, moral courage, on the part of President Obama and the U.S. administration. Great moral courage, because, of course, if it had gone wrong, the results would have been a total debacle, you know, which would have recalled, but perhaps in an even worse way, the debacle of President Carter's attempt to rescue the hostages in Iran. And, I mean, it does... If this is true, it does bring home the appalling burden of responsibility that lies on the shoulders of the President of the United States.
Pakistan has been accused of playing a double game by taking some $3 billion in aid from America to fight terrorism, while at the same time there's evidence that the ISI is supporting the Taliban. And there have been calls in Congress to cut back foreign aid to Pakistan. What would happen if that went through?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would say that Pakistan hasn't been playing a double game or a two-faced game. It's been playing something more like a triple or a quadruple game. That's to say, or at least the Pakistanis have confessed to such a game in private, at least to me, but to many others as well. That's to say that they've been giving shelter to the Afghan Taliban, while, of course, cracking down hard on the Islamist rebels against Pakistan. But also, and this is where the location of bin Laden raises really serious questions, that the Pakistanis have said again and again, look, we may have to turn a blind eye to the Afghan Taliban on our soil, but don't worry, you can be assured that we will go on acting very strongly against al-Qaeda on our soil and against any terrorist plots against the United States. Now, that, if you like, has been the implicit bargain on which U.S.-Pakistani cooperation or in recent years has been founded. Now, if the Pakistanis have broken their word on the, you know, the second part of that equation, then the relationship is in very serious trouble, I would say. Now, whether the right thing to do is to cut civilian aid to Pakistan, that I doubt, because it doesn't bring the U.S. any benefits to undermine the Pakistani economy still further, to impoverish ordinary Pakistanis, to drive them in the direction of radicalization. But what I would say is, if the Pakistani military has really failed, and I would say even by incompetence, let alone ill will, to help in locating bin Laden, then military aid to Pakistan should be cut back radically.
Now, the support to the Afghan Taliban is a tactic in their war against India. Is that how they see it?
Chiefly. I wouldn't say, by the way, support. Support is what we and the Pakistanis gave to the Afghan Mujahideen fighting the Soviets when I was there in the 80s. The Pakistanis haven't given that kind of support, or the Afghan Taliban would be much more formidable than they are. The Afghan Taliban have not been shooting down helicopters. They haven't been using much artillery. They haven't got modern anti-tank weapons and so forth and so on, all of which they could get from the Pakistanis if the Pakistanis gave them to them. So what the Pakistanis have been giving the Afghan Taliban has been shelter, not support. But yes, I mean, this is due to two things. The first is Pakistan's belief that present U.S. strategy will fail, and that unless America does a deal with the Afghan Taliban, then after America's withdrawal, Afghanistan will fall into another civil war, that India essentially will back anti-Pakistani forces in Afghanistan, and therefore Pakistan has no choice but to maintain links with the only potential allies it has, which is the Afghan Taliban. Pakistani officers say that they don't like this, but they say that they simply have no choice given India's role in Afghanistan.
I was going to ask you, how connected are the Afghan and Pakistani Taliban and al-Qaeda?
Well, they're all linked to to each other in a loose kind of way, but it's a bit like, you know, the old communist movements in the past. They all have, of course, a very similar ideology, but they have different enemies, or at least principal enemies. The Afghan Taliban are obviously aiming at the expulsion of U.S. forces from Afghanistan and some kind of role for themselves there. The Pakistani Taliban are aiming at the overthrow of the Pakistani state and an Islamist revolution in Pakistan. And Al-Qaeda, of course, is aiming at terrorism against the West. So they sort of, they blur at the edges, but nonetheless you can see that they have, they also have very different agendas.
I interrupted you. You were going to say something else.
Oh, I was just going to say that the other reason why the Pakistanis give shelter to the Afghan Taliban is that I'm very sorry to say that the Afghan Taliban struggle is massively popular within Pakistan. The ordinary Pakistanis who I've talked to by their hundreds in recent years, the vast majority see the Afghan Taliban as akin to the Afghan Mujahideen in the 80s. That's to say, not necessarily very nice people, but, you know, they have a right to fight for the independence of their country against an alien and illegal occupation. That's not what I'm saying, you understand, but that is what ordinary Pakistanis say.
Well, the president of Pakistan, Asif Ali Zardari, wrote an opinion article in the Washington Post pointing out that Pakistan has paid an enormous price for its stand against terrorism. And I'm wondering what that price is. Is he talking about the fact that it is so unpopular with the people of Pakistan who are outraged by the drone strikes and also the Raymond Davis case?
Well, no, I mean, what he's talking about chiefly is the number of both Pakistani soldiers and police and ordinary Pakistanis who have been killed as part of the struggle against the Pakistani Taliban, Pakistani militants. And this is quite true. You know, more than 3,800 soldiers and police have been killed. That's far more than the U.S. In Afghanistan so far. More than 80 agents of Pakistani intelligence have been killed. And literally tens of thousands of ordinary Pakistanis have been killed in fighting or in bomb attacks. But you see, this is, I mean, a perfectly genuine and very tough struggle by the Pakistani state and army against the rebels, the Islamist rebels who are fighting against Pakistan. But that doesn't mean that the Pakistani state has been willing to extend this struggle to the Afghan Taliban. And now there are really big questions about whether they're willing to extend this struggle to Al-Qaeda as well.
The United States plans to start withdrawing troops from Afghanistan this July. How will that be greeted in Pakistan?
Well, the question is whether the U.S. will withdraw its troops completely. If the U.S. were to withdraw its troops completely, that would certainly improve the situation in Pakistan, because it would deprive the Islamists of one of their greatest arguments, which is that the U.S. is attempting to conquer and rule a neighboring Muslim state. The problem is, though, that if the U.S. retains bases in Afghanistan, which seems to be the present plan of the U.S. military, then a partial U.S. withdrawal won't do any good at all. It will simply be seen as, you know, the U.S. trying to maintain dominance of the region through an illegitimate Afghan client state or puppet state. I mean, what the Pakistani state and army and most ordinary Pakistanis would like would be to see the U.S. And the Karzai administration reach some kind of peace settlement with the Afghan Taliban. And the Pakistani military are very willing to broker such a settlement. But, of course, there has to be an offer that the Afghan Taliban could accept. And also, of course, the U.S. has to be able to trust the Pakistanis to be honest brokers, which is not going to be easy after this latest affair.
Anatole Levin is professor of international relations and terrorism studies at the War Studies Department of King's College London, a senior fellow at the New America Foundation in Washington, D.C., author of a number of books on Chechnya and other places. He's written an article recently on for the Foreign Policy magazine called Hard Power, Why Pakistan is So Difficult to Work With. And his most recent book is called Pakistan, A Hard Country. It is published by Public Affairs. Thank you so much for being with us again today.
It was a pleasure.